Well, welcome everyone to the Summer of Peace, a free global online summit designed to help you transform conflict in your heart, your relationships, and the world, the production of the Shift Network. My name is David Nicol. We're so glad you're joining us today. I'm especially excited to introduce our special guest today, Kabir Helminski. This is a spirituality and peace series, and the particular purpose of this series is to give you a direct experience of the essence of peace through the practices of the world's wisdom traditions. We're weaving together a diverse global field of peace throughout this summer in the Northern Hemisphere, and we're building toward the International Day of Peace for Be the Peace, a very large global meditation event involving hundreds, perhaps thousands of events in cities around the world. And so we hope you'll join us again on the International Day of Peace as we bring this field to a climax for peace, not just for ourselves, but for our world. So I'm very excited to be speaking with Kabir Helminski today. He is a translator of the works of Rumi and others, a sheikh of the Mevlevi order, which traces back to Jalaluddin Rumi. He's co-director of the Threshold Society and director and founder of the Baraka Institute. The focus of his work is contributing to a new language of spirituality to express the fundamental psychological and metaphysical truths of the spiritual process. His books on spirituality, Living Presence, and The Knowing Heart have been published in at least 8 languages. Among his recent publications, A Love's Ripening, Rumi on the Heart's Journey, and the Rumi Day Book. In 2009, Kabir was named as one of the 500 most influential Muslims in the world. He toured as sheikh with the Whirling Dervishes of Turkey, bringing Sufi culture to more than 100,000 people. If you want to find out more about his work, you can go to www.sufism.org or www.barakainstitute.org, BARAKAinstitute.org. Kabir, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Great. So, Kabir, I wonder just first if you would just let our listeners know how it is you came to be connected to the path of Sufism.
I was born into a Catholic family and took my religion pretty seriously until I was about 18. And then I found myself propelled into the Eastern spiritual traditions, especially Buddhism, for a number of years. But eventually my path led around somehow, inexplicably, to Rumi and Sufism, and eventually to the roots of Sufism, which are in Islam. It was a very gradual, natural, organic process, and my spiritual work and teaching have been rooted in the Mevlevi tradition, which traces back to Rumi, about seven centuries old. And I see this as, I think Rumi offers to us a very nuanced, creative, and sort of self-transcending spirituality that is particularly suited to the needs of our time. It is both rooted in tradition and traditional practices, and at the same time has a really broad perspective and profound depth. So this is the tradition I love and from which I try to speak.
Great. Thank you. You know, when we look out into the world today, it's very evident that there is a lot of religious conflict, and it's particularly intense at the moment in the Middle East. I'd like to bring attention to something that you wrote for this call. And just to ask you to expand on it somewhat in that context, where you wrote, each of us must find the elements within our own tradition that can contribute to ending the arguments in the world. From what parts of my own family and the world culture can I bring forth the principles of a noble life? So I'm really curious about that. How can we draw from our own traditions to contribute to ending the arguments in the world? I just wonder if you could say more about that notion.
Yes, thank you so much, David. You know, these conflicts are not really rooted in religion. They are rooted in human egoism, and an egoism that corrupts every sphere of human activity. You could just as well say that the conflicts in the world are all due to government, and yet we could not live without government. In the same way, it is something in us, in human beings, that corrupt power, corrupt religion, and turn it into something other than what it essentially is. I think the question for us all, for humanity at this point, is how are we to embody divine grace? How are we to bring into the world that miraculous, transforming power, which is at the heart of reality and also at the heart of every human being? I feel we can in a way use this language for people of faith as well as for people who are rooted in a secular reality. If we acknowledge that there is something in the heart of the human being that is sacred, and that there is something at the heart of life that is sacred, and each of us must reference the best of our family traditions, our cultures, our faiths, and I'll add even our literary and political preferences and tastes. All of these contain wisdom, and we need to bring forth that which is noble in human life. And I think one of the issues that is really important in my heart at this moment, and this, I just want to confess, this is a time of real heartache for me, and I think for a lot of the world at this point, both because of the violence we're witnessing, and also almost equally because in America especially, we seem to be living in a crisis of truth. Peace is not something separate from truth nor from justice. True peace is one with truth and justice. So one of the messages I would like to underline today, myself, for all of us, is that the world needs truth tellers. And there's a beautiful saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which is, speak the truth, even if it be against yourself. We would all remember this principle. We could be more objective. We could also stand up for injustices that are done to people other than our own communities, faith, etc. It's more noble to fight for the rights of people beyond our own community, beyond our own religion, to have a truly humanitarian, global perspective. So I believe we're living in a profound crisis of truth. The lie is what is dominating politics. Much of humanity is waking up. Much of humanity sees this. But in the public sphere, we're faced with enormous lies. And these lies are doing great harm to a humanity which is often extremely suggestible. And our suggestibility is one of our greatest weaknesses. So consciousness, spirituality, I think is an antidote to that suggestibility. It's also an antidote to the prejudices of our egoistic point of view. If we cannot see the truth and justice that needs to be brought into this world, if we only see things from a particular nationalistic, religious, or ethnic point of view, we are living in the false self. And so I see that our main task today is to rise to a new level of consciousness and lift ourselves or arise from this false self, which is based in fear and judgment and blame, and which is so susceptible to the lies that people in power and people in much of the media are programming us with. So our spirituality is a movement from this level of distortion and fear and blame to a more comprehensive level of truth, of peace, of justice, of equanimity, of forgiveness. And there's so much to be forgiven. And Muslims today and over the last so many years have borne a great burden of blame since 9/11. You know, the world wants to know what kind of people, what kind of religion would blow up these buildings. Now, leaving aside the truth of that story, nevertheless, Muslims have carried the burden of the hatred generated against them. So I want to say to my Muslim and my beloved Muslim brothers and sisters that it's for us to bring forth something into this world to show the world that they should not be afraid of us. If people could find a safe place in us, if they could find a tender, loving place of humility and reverence, and this is the real essence of Islam, then Muslims would be giving birth to something the world desperately needs. The entire world wants Muslims to prove that violence is not intrinsic to their religion. I've seen many Muslim communities in America doing a superb job of service. Of here in Louisville, Kentucky, there's a very strong Muslim community, many of whom are doctors and so forth, doing extraordinary work on towns that have been destroyed by tornadoes, contributing to Christian organizations and charities that are helping in Haiti and elsewhere. And I see so many beautiful and generous acts coming forth from the American Muslim community, which are often not credited, but are just not known. So this is an example of bringing something forth from our tradition. And I think there's a miraculous power when we give up our judgments, when we forgive even those who have done great violence towards us. Now I'm talking for the Muslim community, because it's the Muslims that in recent years have lost millions of people in Iraq, in the sanctions, a million people, in the war, a million people, in Bosnia, hundreds of thousands of people that have been killed while the world stood by. And yet, we too have to forgive. We too have to open our hearts in peace. And if we can do this, perhaps especially this and the next generation, we can give birth to a language of peace beyond war and help humanity get beyond all of these arguments and violence and strive for a unity that honors diversity and difference. And this diversity and difference is the principal design feature of existence. Existence is designed as a unity that encompasses diversity. And this is my religion.
Beautiful, beautifully said, Kabir, and I want to, I feel honored for you to bring forth that voice of the Muslims that is so infrequently heard in this country, in the media and so on, and also for naming the crisis of truth in this country, and the heartbreak that I think many of us are feeling when we look out to the world at the moment. And I'm wondering if it feels like it's also an opportunity at the moment, because we've reached this point where there seems to be a certain breakdown, or feels like there's an imminent loss of order, and some of the structures seem to be imperiled in a certain way. But I wonder if it's also an opportunity, that crisis, for this sort of approach where, in some sense, people may be more open than ever to something deeper, something more true, when you see these periods where what is known is not working and falling away, that we can actually meet that moment perhaps with our truth, with our spirituality, and there might be in fact a particular readiness for transformation to occur at this time. I'm just curious if you have thoughts about that.
Yes, I do, David. Thank you for putting it in that context. If we didn't trust in the possibility of the darkness revealing the light even more clearly, it would truly be a hopeless situation. I think from a spiritual perspective, in some way we trust in the perfection of the unfolding of time. And the perfection consists in this. It's not that there aren't horrors to be witnessed, but that even within these horrors and injustices and violence, there is always a grace and a blessing. And this grace and this blessing and this virtue might not even be called forth from within us if we were not in these circumstances. So this is the remedy against hopelessness, and at the same time that our hearts are aching for what we see, it's not at all a reason to be demoralized or to have a feeling of hopelessness, but to allow these circumstances to compel us toward greater commitment, and to commit ourselves to truth, to commit ourselves to justice, and to do it with a conscious heart, a heart that begins in peace and takes that peace even into the midst of chaos and conflict.
So this may be a good time then, Kabir, for us to move into our practice, and we do emphasize in this series the crucial role of spiritual practice in creating the foundation of not just our own personal peace, but peace in our world, and how we can locate in that deep inner space the essence of peace, the essence of what we want to bring into the world. So I would invite you now to guide us with your practice so that we can all experience that peace in a very direct way.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a great opportunity. Thank you so much. In the name of the infinitely compassionate and merciful source of life, let's bring our finest attention to our breath. Every out-breath, allowing ourselves to let go of whatever we need to let go of in order to be present in this moment. And with every in-breath, to breathe in the enlivening, awakening energy, the subtle, beautiful energy that we call divine. We feel an extraordinary gratitude for the simple presence of breath, for the stillness we find in awakening this awareness of the breath. And if it helps, you might choose a divine name or word to include with your out-breath to center you in the breath, breath by breath. Sufis sometimes use the divine name Hu, H-U, which is the pronoun of divine presence. And there are two aspects of breath that we might focus on at this moment. The first is the infinite compassion of the divine, the grace that flows into the world and is given to everything in existence, to the conscious and the unconscious, to the good and the bad, to all of life. And it flows as a never-ending outpouring of blessing and grace. So experience that on your out-breath, bringing that into the world. In Sufi terms, we call this Rahman, the infinite compassion. So allow that infinite divine compassion to come into the world on your out-breath. our responsibility as human beings is to radiate blessing in this world. That is the job of the mystics, of the lovers, of the friends of God, to radiate blessing in this world. Every out-breath, and with every in-breath, to know that in whatever circumstances we are in, whatever suffering, grief, or joy, or expansion, there's always a channel, a path back to the divine source, a way of return, a way of reconnecting, so that this process can continue, a continual outflowing, radiating of blessing, with the out-breath and continual return and reconnecting, communion with the divine on the in-breath. So we are beings of two worlds, an outer visible world and inner invisible world. We are the bridge between these two worlds. Breath helps us to sustain that connection. Sufis sometimes speak into this infinite, divine, mysterious reality and address it as if it were personal. Address it as a you, like this. O our sustainer, you are peace, and from you comes all peace. And our ultimate return is to you, to peace. Allow us to enter your garden, the abode of peace. O our sustainer, bless us with peace. With your peace, you have exalted everything. O sustainer of infinite compassion and generosity. Breath by breath. Radiating blessing. Reconnecting with the source of being. each breath, the mind becomes quieter. The emotions become more still. The heart awakens. We have the possibility of experiencing something in our inner life, a profound beauty and power and support. Just a few moments more. Let these last moments be moments of refined, continuous presence through awareness of the breath and this interconnection. Without thinking too much, receive these words from Rumi. Oh my God, our intoxicated eyes have blurred our vision. Our burdens have been made heavy. Forgive us. You are hidden, and yet from east to west, you have filled the world with your radiance. Your light is more magnificent than sunrise or sunset, and you are the inmost ground of consciousness, revealing the secrets we hold. You are an explosive force, causing our dammed up rivers to burst forth. You, whose essence is hidden while your gifts are manifest, you are like water, and we are like millstones. You are like wind, and we are like dust. The wind is hidden while the dust is plainly seen. You are the invisible spring, and we are your lush garden. You are the spirit of life, and we are like hand and foot. Spirit causes the hand to close and open. You are intelligence, and we are your voice. Your intelligence causes this tongue to speak. You are joy, and we are laughter, but we are the result of the blessing of your joy. All our movement is really a continuous profession of faith, bearing witness to your eternal power. Just as the powerful turning of the millstone professes faith in the river's existence. Dust settles upon my head and upon my metaphors. For you are beyond anything we can ever think or say. And yet, this servant cannot stop trying to express your beauty in every moment. Let my soul be your carpet. Beloved friends, thank you.
Thank you, Kabir. And let's take a minute or so in silence just to resonate with those words and let this peace settle even further inside. Feel for myself like that servant trying to express words. Feel very touched, Kabir, by this whole call, the words, the whole field of purity that you've evoked. And it isn't easy to put into words, but I'm very grateful and just for this energy that we've brought, not just to ourselves, but into the world today. So thank you again so much for speaking the truth and sharing that with us. I would like to invite our listeners just in this moment to just take a moment to make a conscious connection between this silence, this peace, this sacredness of this field that we've participated in today, and the field of peace that we've been creating throughout this series, these similar spaces of depth and profound silence and peace. Just to make in this moment a conscious connection so that we're weaving together these visible threads of peace. Feeling the lack of separation. We've heard many different voices in this series from different traditions, but the experience that we come to is seamless in terms of the silence and the peace and the joy that's at the essence of reality. So just as we are coming to the close of this call, Kabir, I would like to just ask you if there's any final thoughts you'd like to leave our audience, or any next steps perhaps that you'd like to recommend for them to know how to embody this grace, this peace in their lives. Anything that comes to mind as a way of saying farewell to our audience today.
Thank you so much, David. The only thing that comes to mind is something very practical. I ask all of our beloved friends across traditions and all backgrounds to make one decision a day that you act upon, however small, and through that, build your will, your commitment, your sincerity, in small ways, to keep working for peace, truth, and justice. Make one decision each day. Awaken will in your soul, and that will be in harmony with the divine will. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thanks to all who are listening for being here and for being as one community, which we really are. Thank you.
Thank you again, Kabir, and thank you everyone for listening and participating. What a beautiful session today. We hope that you'll join us for next session on Tuesday. We encourage you to engage online at www.facebook.com/shiftnetwork. Thank you all again for joining us. Peace be with you.